Mr. Ivan Eland, thank you very much indeed for taking part in this interview.
Thanks for having me on.
Mr. Eland, first of all, what is your idea about the Saudi-Bahrain merger plan? Isn't it a sellout of the country's independence and an effort to give Saudi security forces a stronger hand in suppression of anti-government protests?
Yes, well, I think that's what's going to happen. They're doing this for internal reasons to shore up the government in Bahrain because of the instability there, because they don't want it to, the Saudis do not want it to spread to Saudi Arabia. And so, yes, I think the independence of Bahrain will probably be compromised to some extent in the merger, in the arrangement.
The Bahraini people want independence. They want to run their own country, and they consider this annexation as unacceptable. What would be the consequences of such a plan when the Bahraini people reject any sort of relationship with Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think, you know, this is a very dangerous thing for the Saudis to do, because I think they're trying to prevent rebellion of the Shia population in their own country by doing this, putting the Shia down in Bahrain. But, you know, this Arab Spring movement is for democracy, and the social forces underneath this rebellion are not going to go away. And I think repressing it, as we've seen in Syria, it doesn't really work, because the people just have the desire for democracy and that sort of thing. So I think you can repress it to a certain extent, but it just makes people madder when it does happen.
Why do Bahraini regime prevent the people from expressing their fear, their opposition, and their legitimate peaceful resistance to a project that's being forced on them?
Well, I think they're resisting because the government is, you know, and it takes a lot of courage to do that, because the government is repressing them. And I think they're going to continue with that. And if they repress them, you know, continue to repress them on the surface, the desire for rebellion and democracy is still going to be there. So I'm not sure if this is going to work. The spirit of resistance in many of the Arab countries is quite great. And so I think any repression is going to be, you know, it may be effective for a while, but these social forces that the Shia have been repressed and oppressed in Bahrain is going to continue the instability there. And I think we see that in Bahrain.
Despite all that's being said, suppose such a thing were to happen, under what name would the new territory go? Would it be a bigger Saudi Arabia? Or would it be a bigger kingdom with different sheikhdoms?
You know, certainly the Saudis are going to have a lot more influence there. And I think, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work out, but certainly this is based on security reasons. And this idea, and even the larger expanded Gulf Cooperation Council, you know, and enhancing that is designed specifically, it's targeted at the Bahrain situation, because the Saudis really want to control what's going on there. And I think the U.S. probably does too, because the Fifth Fleet is based in Bahrain. And, you know, we don't, in the United States, we like democracy, but sometimes it bumps up against hard interests. And the Fifth Fleet headquarters in Bahrain is certainly an incentive for the U.S. to support the Saudis and what they're trying to do. And certainly the Saudis, the base of this is to get more control over the Bahrain rebellion and tamp down instability in this area. You know, the Saudis and the U.S. have slightly different motives for doing that, but they basically agree on the need to do it.
Recently, Ali Khalifa was invited by Britain's Queen Elizabeth. How do you explain the invitation of Bahrain's king to Britain's Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee, especially when you consider the situation in Bahrain and the crackdown on the people there?
Well, I think it sends a bad signal that if you repress the people, then you get an invitation from the Queen. But, you know, that the British probably agree with the U.S. that they would like to see this. They won't admit it, because Britain and the U.S. are democracies, and they're supposed to be promoting democracy. But of course, as I mentioned, sometimes hard interests get in the way of democracy. And I think that that's what you're seeing with both Britain and the United States and Bahrain, is that the rhetoric differs from the real interest, and the real interest is stability because of the, you know, the fleet that that guards oil, which of course, you know, really doesn't need to do, but nonetheless, they perceive it as need to have this fleet there to guard the oil. So I think Britain is rewarding, frankly, rewarding them for repression, which is not a good thing to do.
And one last question, Mr. Elan. How likely will the plan, will the merger plan be implemented? And how much will it question the independence and the territorial integrity of Arab nations?
Well, I think it's a bad precedent, simply because the rest of the Arab world is going the other way with the Arab Spring. You know, people are trying to get self-determination and democracy. And in this case, what you have is a merger to repress, you know, repress dissent and increase stability. And so, you know, I think it's really, this is sort of a counter-revolution to the Arab Spring. It's going in the opposite direction. And I think that's the Saudi way, is to try to repress, and they treat it as a contagion rather than as something that's desirable. And, you know, it's because they have a repressive monarchy there, and they have an abysmal human rights record. And, you know, so they're trying to, basically, this is all designed to stanch the contagion of democracy in the Arab Spring.
Well, Mr. Ivan Eland, a senior fellow at the Independent Institute based in Washington, D.C., I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.